Anyway. And I don't want to maybe choose my words. I was just thinking, anyway. But I mean, Putin's kleptocracy, yeah. It was in January, after being elected. The late January, early February. He said, it's not, we lead, not just, well, I won't go into it.
Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers.
For two reasons. One, it's an impact. An impact that decades are making, because inaction was there was inaction with the Department of from Charlotte, another line going from in Florida down to Tampa. The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to. Anyway, the idea that and Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga, but there's, you know, there to be, you know, beginning this effort, I want you to know that I want to thank you as well for. But the nature, not on the America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him. Look, a solid meeting with Los Angeles what am I doing here? From the they also increase corporate growth. They make a very good point. Here's the deal.
159,000 billion dollars left.
My plan is to make concrete. I know President leading tech companies like Anthropic, and I'm going to mispronounce. I'm not going to try. The beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this refinery. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. By the end of a governing crisis, it's time to end it. These constant. Anyway, I'm gonna be good. Because that's why we cannot let this election be one where the same man who was president 4 years ago. I'll never forget. I won't go into that. Anyway, I just think that Florida Small Business Winner Award winner, Business Week winner. Now, it has the Evolver Institution. About former Prime Minister likely to take baths up that. Anyway.
They overruled that to reinstate the
32nd freestanding, have free, 30 free.
Just follow my orders here.
One of the things I learned that shocked me was that the government was putting fluoride in our water. Not to mention all the other chemicals and food and water that cause health problems and thyroid issues. And I figured, what is the solution? Nascent iodine kept coming up in research. We decided here at InfoWars to bring you the purest form of nascent iodine. Survival Shield X3 can help support your thyroid and help with a healthy metabolism. Survival Shield X3, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
Discover the remarkable benefits of fish oils with Ultimate Fish Oil from InfraWars Life. Packed with essential nutrients like EPA and DHA, it promotes optimal health, joint, and cognitive health. This powerful formula includes wild anchovy, krill, and salmon oil, providing superior antioxidant content. With a natural targeted delivery system, each capsule delivers 1,000 milligrams of concentrated EPA and DHA. Enhance your well-being and vitality with Ultimate Fish Oil. Available now at InfraWarsStore.com.
Where critical thinking meets the pursuit of truth, it's The War Room with your host, Chase Geiser.
Welcome back to The War Room, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host this afternoon. So much craziness to go over. Man. Heavy is the crown. Heavy is the burden of the cross. The first thing I want to talk about is this clip from The View from earlier this week. This is clip number 26. Now, suddenly, the leftists are advocating for freedom of the press and freedom of speech. And they're saying that if Donald Trump gets elected, they are so afraid for all of us that we'll be silenced and arrested for any opposition to him, that our shows will be canceled. As if that's not what the left has been doing to everyone in America for 8 years. It's absolutely disgusting to me. We have to watch this clip 26 and unpack it. Go ahead.
So you said recently that you thought that you, as an outspoken critic, could be a target yourself. Some people think that sounds overdramatic, but I'm right there with you. I think that he is so vindictive that he will go after however he has to, through the IRS maybe, or even through sponsors to get us off the air. Absolutely. Maybe, or you. Yeah. How seriously should we be taking that?
Well, so I was asked, am I worried about me? And my answer was, I'm worried about all of us. I'm no more worried about me than I am worried about everybody in the country. Yeah. I think it's bad to have somebody saying, give me as much power as you can in this country so I can use it to go after other Americans. So I can use it to go after these subhuman internal enemies and I'll destroy them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not a good system for anybody. And I don't think anybody's safe if that's the sort of basis on which he wants to get more
power. Well, remember when Nixon had an enemies list? That was a proud moment for a lot of people if they were on the enemies list. Maybe we need to turn it around like that.
Well, I think that if he decides that he's going to go after you or me or anybody who's well known, we have resources, we'll likely be fine. But I think there's a pattern where he picks out individual people and effectively terrorizes them. Stormy Daniels wearing a bulletproof vest to get into
it's ridiculous.
The courthouse, right?
Once you have political violence, you have fascism following that.
So Stormy Daniels wears a bulletproof vest, and suddenly that means that she's actually under threat. I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but I've seen people that don't need bodyguards carry around bodyguards to make it seem like their life is under threat when it's really not. Fairly recently, I think some of the crew has joined me in that observation. Right, Rob? And you have this attack on Trump, like he's going to silence journalists, like he's going to imprison people who oppose him. I don't want him to silence journalists. I think everybody should have freedom of speech, freedom of the press. But one of the biggest mistakes that he made in his first term was that he didn't imprison the political opposition that was criminal. You don't imprison people because they're political opposition, but you should imprison them because they are criminals, right? I mean, famously, Trump said that Hillary Clinton would be in jail if he was elected to the presidency of the United States. And that never happened. And now look what's going on. Now it seems more likely than ever that she's going to be the presidential candidate. I mean, let's run clip three here. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting with John Podesta. Clip number three, go ahead and run it and we'll unpack it.
We want to do the same thing here. We want to communicate the right way. I think this whole climate change dialogue is not going to work. I think this has been used for the last few decades. I think we should address it directly, what it is, which is pollution. We want to terminate pollution. That is the message we should go out there. And I think that it doesn't matter if it's the Chinese or the Russians, whoever it is, we maybe don't agree with them, but we all have to bring them in and we all have to work together with them.
I mean, unbelievable. You guys remember who John Podesta is, right? John Podesta, the Hillary Clinton campaign manager who was outed by the WikiLeaks emails from Julian Assange to be sending that encoded email, multiple encoded emails, to things like pepperoni and hot dogs, all alluding to seemingly satanic or pedophilia-esque content. I mean, he seems deeply entrenched in trafficking. I've seen some of the most disturbing clips that I've ever seen on bizarre dark web websites that sound as if it is John Podesta's voice literally sexually torturing underage children, little girls who are screaming for mercy, screaming, and he's yelling, "Who's your father? I'm your father. Who's your father?" I mean, I don't know if it's really him or not, but there's no question in my mind that this guy is incredibly evil. Now he's popping up sitting next to Arnold Schwarzenegger as if this weasel of a man is Arnold Schwarzenegger's handler. This is somebody who ran Hillary Clinton's campaign. He's popping up all while she's had a bunch of plastic surgery done. She's popping up out of nowhere as we come up on this virtual Democratic National Convention to determine the official candidate for the president of the United States representing the Democratic Party. She's popping up. I think they're going to replace him. And I know that Stone says that it's going to be Big Mike. Maybe he's right. I'm not certain about this, but it's very, very bizarre. So we have this accusation being leveraged against Trump that he's going to imprison all of his opposition just because they're opposition, which is BS. I mean, he didn't even do it the last time. He's already been president. People seem to forget that fact, that he didn't do any of these corrupt things when he was president the last time, but they can somehow fathom that he's going to behave totally tyrannically and differently this next time. We've got this attack on his mental acuity, despite the fact that Joe Biden is clearly the one entirely vacant of all consciousness. And then you have the likes of Adam Kinzinger, this cock from Illinois, who I am ashamed that my community supported, believing that he was genuinely a Republican. This is clip number two. Let's watch this of him just gloating and defending the insanity that is leftism right now.
Yeah, I mean, this, look, his brain is broken. The difference is he does it more energetically. And, you know, I think it's completely an unfair comparison. But right now, you know, Joe Biden looks a lot more low energy than Donald Trump. And that's Donald Trump's advantage. But these videos, I mean, they're blatant lies. And it used to be, Jim, back in the day, it would be kind of the dark corners of the internet that would put out these fake videos, and then responsible
they're
people like members
fake.
Of Congress and the Senate or the RNC would say, no, we're not going to do that. They're the ones pushing this now. This whole Joe Biden wandering at Normandy, all you had to do was pan out and see that he was talking. He's doing exactly what I would have done as a military guy, which is go over and talk to them and not the other state leaders. You know, him at the fundraiser, if you actually zoom in on his face, he's very mobile. He's motioning. He's smiling at people. He's not frozen. But we're going to see this for the next 5 months. So people, just guard yourself when you see those videos. Wait to make a judgment until you see the full video in context.
What an example of gaslighting. What an insane example of gaslighting, where they're telling us to wait until we see the full video in context before making a determination, right after they remove the full video and do a hypercut of a different video to make it look like he wasn't losing his mind. They're the ones that are actually showing us partial videos, claiming it's the full video, saying that this is a cheap fake. And you can say all you want about Gen Z being insane and the lunacy of leftism infesting their minds with TikTok brain and Instagram real brain. I understand there's problems with Gen Z, but I actually, and I've been saying this for a long time, I think that there is a substantial amount of hope that Gen Z is going to be our salvation. And I agree with Bannon when he analyzed this with Poso the other day. This is clip number four. Bannon saying that Gen Z realizes it's being sold out. Let's go ahead and run four.
And young people are the difference in this election, in all the elections. You see it in France, you see it in Germany, you see it everywhere. We have a youth revolt.
Poland,
you have a youth revolt. Whether it's Italy, Vox in Spain, even Nigel Farage right now, what's happening to Nigel and the Reform Party, and here in the United States with President Trump, this is a youth movement. The
kids are all right. And particularly, I have to say this, it's actually being led by young men. It's actually young men.
Because they're disaffected because the world's against young men. And I don't care what your ethnicity or what your race is or what your religion. The world is against young men. It's obvious. This whole system set up to demonize young men. They want to break the nuclear family. Breaking the nuclear family, they want to crush the dads. They want to use the children weaponized against the family. So it's very obvious what they're trying to do. And young men are at the tip of this revolt. And I think it's a refreshing. And hey, this is another reason I'm very confident we're going to win.
Well, especially too, because I've been talking, and I was talking to DB News about this the other day, talking about Nigel. We've been talking about this in the United States, especially with Gen Z. You know, they say Gen Z over there, Gen Z. So with Gen Z, what the idea is, especially these young men, they've been sold a bill of goods. They played by the rules their whole life. And now Gen Z is entering the workforce and suddenly finding the workforce ain't exactly what they were told. And oh, by the way, they're also being told that the reason that everything is falling apart is you.
Yeah. And they're nothing but Russian serfs. You don't own anything. The economics in the world against you. You're going to slave away for a paycheck, not be able to meet your monthly expenses, have to use a credit card. There's $1.3 trillion of debt on credit cards right now. 10% are non-performing. You have APR of almost 30%. You're just on the wheel. You're on the wheel of samsara, just a hamster, just going around. And people don't want that. They weren't born for this. They were born for something greater. They're born for to reach their total potential. And that's what the right wing of the world, that is what the populist movement, that's what the nationalist movement, the sovereignty movement throughout the world can offer people to have hope in their country, hope in their community, hope in themselves. And by putting their shoulder to the wheel, we can win this and overthrow this geopolitical neocon neoliberal order that has enslaved working men and women, the middle class, and now is enslaving our youngest generation. So, no, I think it's refreshing, and I think this is going to be the reverse of the summer of 2020. This is going to be a summer. This is going to be a summer of fight.
Bannon touched on something so subtle and so important there. He touched on the concept of self-actualization. And forgive me, crew, it escapes me who the psychologist was who first coined the term self-actualization. If you could look it up and just say to me, or something that starts with an M, I believe. His name escapes me. But the concept of self-actualization is reaching one's Maslow, reaching one's total potential. And he came out with a hierarchy of needs associated with that. Things like food and shelter and connection, and there are other things. There's a few things that a human being needs in order to have the resources necessary to reach this concept of self-actualization. And you can argue about who's accomplished this. You know, obviously Jesus Christ would be an example of somebody who's accomplished self-actualization. I think Elon Musk is someone that would come very close to that paradigm, a Steve Jobs, a Rockefeller, maybe a Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, there are a couple of iconic people throughout history that one could consider as having reached self-actualization. And this is the entire point and purpose of everything that lays the bedrock of our civilization. Going all the way back to the Declaration of Independence or to the Constitution, this notion that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness ties directly in to self-actualization, even though those words were written on paper centuries before the concept of self-actualization was actually outlined in the psychological papers. And the idea is that if you want to reach self-actualization, if you want to pursue happiness, which is pursuing self-actualization, if you want to have liberty, which is necessary to achieve self-actualization, you cannot become the best version of yourself, the happiest, most fulfilled version of yourself, unless you have the freedom to do what it takes. It is impossible in a leftist regime to reach self-actualization. It is impossible in North Korea to reach self-actualization. It is impossible under the CCP to reach self-actualization. Under the Soviet Union, it was impossible to reach self-actualization because you have to have freedom, you have to have liberty, you have to have private property rights that are protected one way or another. Otherwise, you will never achieve self-actualization. And that's why the United States of America, whether it was in some sort of a Cold War with the Soviet Union or some sort of an economic war with the CCP, it always, up until this point, seemed to prevail. Whether it was in a world war, it always prevailed against all these other nations because it had the most freedom that we could reach self-actualization. We could pivot and innovate and accomplish groundbreaking, amazing things faster and better than any other civilization in the entire world. And it was because we had the freedom required to reach self-actualization. And the reason leftists are so miserable and so unhappy is not only because they fail to reach self-actualization, but it's because they lack the self-esteem necessary to accomplish this. And they perpetuate policies that make it literally impossible not only for them to achieve self-actualization, but for anyone else to do it as well. And when they see someone else accomplish this self-actualization, they feel nothing but jealousy and envy and hatred. You want to talk about vindictive? Donald Trump is not vindictive. He was closer to self-actualization than any of these leftists sitting behind desks in their former glory. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg hasn't accomplished anything since Star Trek Next Generation, and frankly, that was for dorks. I loved it too, but it was for dorks. And out of their own bitterness that they didn't accomplish something greater, something better, something more impressive, something more glorious, more valuable, more contributing, more beautiful, they attack all that is glorious and beautiful and impressive. And we see the same thing represented in our modern art, where all of these artists come out and they do this abstract BS and they call it beautiful art, but it's because they're not capable of painting someone how someone actually looks. So they do funny shapes and they say that it's art or it's abstract or it's obscure. They can't actually do art in the same way of a Da Vinci or a Michelangelo or a Raphael or Caravaggio or Norman Rockwell. They cannot create beautiful art that depicts reality in a beautiful way. So instead of attempting to better themselves, they just splash crap on a paper like Jackson Pollock, who I'm heard is rumored to have been associated with the CIA, and they call it beautiful because they can't do the beautiful stuff. I mean, I understand that Picasso was a genius. I understand that he is kind of the father of abstract art in many ways with the ugly stuff that he did in a creative and interesting way. But you understand that Picasso knew how to draw things perfectly before he started experimenting with the abstract stuff. You understand that if you look at a picture of the Blue Period, whether it's a gymnast standing on a gymnasium ball or whether it's the blue guitar player, the famous guitar player from his Blue Period, abstract wasn't all that he could do. He did abstract because he was genuinely interested in it. But our artists now, they put up these bizarre, disgusting sculptures. They put up these trash canvases. They put out these stupid television shows. These stupid movies, because they are incapable of creating anything sophisticated or meaningful or beautiful. And because they are incapable of this, they seek reverence for their mediocrity. They demand reverence for their mediocrity. And when reverence isn't given, bitterness ensues and they try to slash down all criticism that is actually from a point of reason, that is actually founded in objective reality. They hate all that brings the truth to their darkness, that shines light on their darkness. They scour and hide in the darkness, and any light that they foresee around them is met with only vitriol and violence and bitterness. And frankly, I think they tear down these statues not only because of who they represent or the ideals that they represent, but they tear them down because they're from a time when beauty itself was revered. These leftists, these unhumans, want to silence you and shut you down and destroy all that you create and destroy you and your family. They literally want to kill you. They literally want to take your life because they have justified in their own minds that you don't deserve life itself and only they do. And the only reason you are alive is because you have committed some unknown injustice on some unknown generation centuries ago, even though you've only been alive for however many decades you've been alive. This is the disgusting exploitation and evilness of leftism, which is a branch extended from Marxism. It is a form of communism. It is a form of Marxism, and it advocates self-sacrifice. That is why it is unhuman. Any philosophy that advocates self-sacrifice is not a philosophy any human being should believe in, because that is human sacrifice being advocated right there. And you could say, well, Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. Yes, but he sacrificed himself towards self-actualization. He had to die on the cross in order to be the king of the universe, in order to resurrect, ascend again, and sit at the right hand of the Father. It is not a story of sacrifice. It is a story of self-actualization. Yes, he underwent some pain and he was dead for 48 hours. So in that sense, he made a sacrifice, but he did not advocate for the sacrifice of self. He advocated for the self-actualization of self. For the actualization of self, for the manifestation of one's potential. With faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. That is a parable about self-actualization. Believe in what you are capable of, and if you believe even just a little bit, you will become a mountain. That is the beauty of Christianity. That is the difference between Christianity and every other faith. Every other faith advocates for sacrifice, whether it's animal sacrifice, whether it's human sacrifice. Every other faith is about losing the self. Buddhism, about death of the ego. Meditate your own sense of self away. Islam, about literally naming everyone in your whole religion after one guy. Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. They're all fucking Muhammad. There is no self. There is no difference. There is only the prophet. Blessed be his name. Allahu Akbar. It's a garbage religion, just like Buddhism is a garbage religion, just like any religion that advocates for the sacrifice of humanity. It is disgusting. Christianity is the only one that has advocated for the manifestation, for the actualization of the individual. That's why I'm Christian. Other than the fact that it's true, it's actually virtuously good. Its philosophy is in harmony with reality. It resonates with truth. All the way down to the laws of physics, all the way down to the laws of art. That's why the Sistine Chapel is so beautiful compared to this leftist trash that we see constructed and hung up on walls in leftist museums in every major leftist city in the United States of America. Have you ever looked into the golden ratio? They made art that followed the laws of physics and mathematics in the universe, and that's why it inevitably resulted in beauty every single time. It was art designed to obey the laws God made when he created the universe, and that's why it's so much more beautiful than this trash. And they hate God, and they hate reality, and they hate objective truth so much that they seek to destroy it in any way, whether economically, whether with literal physical violence, or whether culturally, with DEI and other Marxist critical theory BS ideology at Disney. And they try to ruin everything that is good and beautiful because they advocate for the death of humanity itself, the sacrifice of humanity itself to their satanic cult. They don't even know they're Satanist. They are trying to kill everyone for the sake of the glory of the devil. That is why it's more important now than ever that networks like InfoWars stay on the air, that people like Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and Joe Rogan and others who at least attempt to tell the truth as much as possible can have the audiences and broadcast to the millions upon millions of people that they reach between them. And that is why they want to shut us down. The real reason they want to shut down InfoWars is not because of anything Alex got wrong 10 years ago, but because of everything he got right every single day over the course of the last 30 years. The reason they tried to shut down Joe Rogan was the same thing. Remember they came out with the N-word compilation video as soon as he got that deal with Spotify because they knew Spotify wouldn't censor him and YouTube would have? That's why they fire him from Fox News for virtually no reason, despite the fact he was the most talented pundit there with the largest audience there. And people are waking up. That's why these platforms and these individuals, these American heroes, are exploding. Everyone is listening. Everyone is turning their heads to watch because people desperately seek the truth in a world filled with lies. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get any of the products. They're all top quality. They all work. Not only is it an investment in your health, but it's an investment in the truth itself and protecting the truth being shared worldwide.
I don't know why mainstream media is not talking about the most important economic development on global finance in our lifetime.
So you're saying right now the break's happening?
Yeah, right now. So it's happening as we speak. So look at that video that's on the screen. Those are after Putin said, I'm taking the U.S. dollar and we're not going to allow it to be exchanged on currency exchanges. We're not going to allow it to be used in financial transactions anymore. There's lines of people for blocks and blocks and blocks trying to get into the banks in Russia, pull out their money because they think that these economic sanctions are going to destroy the ruble, which they're probably right. Right. They're absolutely probably right. But here's Putin's calculated move. He said, OK, it's more important to me to kill the U.S. dollar than anything else. So what happened when he did that? The Russian stock market down 15% in one day. Rosbank, one of the larger banks in Russia, basically closed its doors. They ran out of money. People cannot get money out of the banks. They're running out of capital. And so what Putin did, and this is where it's, is it calculated? Is it evil? Is it smart? I don't know, but he's willing to hurt his own people temporarily to destroy the U.S. dollar. I mean, what a calculated move that could blow up in his face, or it could make the BRICS nations extremely powerful down the road. I would say it's the latter. I think the ruble might get hurt really, really hard. The stock market in Russia is going to get hit really, really hard. But if now, when you couple no more U.S. dollars in Russia with Saudi Arabia's deal of no more U.S. dollars for oil, well, they just killed the petrodollar. They killed the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. And I think that this is going to spread through the rest of the BRICS nations.
You'll probably, in this crazy market, actually make money, but I think it's clear to say you'll at least meet inflation instead of losing money and everything else. You need to get silver. That's the big thing. Get some gold as well. But Kirk's absolutely right. Silver is the thing that's got the most room to grow, and it is growing the most. 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900, or kepm.com/gold. And they know that we sent you when you go to /gold, so be sure and do that. Dr. Kirk Elliott, God bless you, and thank you for all your support.
Thank you, Alex. We'll talk real soon.
God bless.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We brought in a non-globalist paid actor and did a blind taste test between the mac and cheese from Storable Foods at InfoWarsStore.com and one of America's leading brands. These are the results.
Now go ahead and try the first macaroni and cheese to your right.
It literally smells like nothing.
What are your first thoughts?
Typical. Takes back to when the babysitter doesn't quite know how to make it like your mom makes it, so it's just not...
Let's move on to the one on your left.
See, this one actually smells like cheese. All right. Do I have any on my fork here? Go buy your storable food at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Exploring the globalist agenda, it's The War Room with your host, Chase Geyser. Back for another one.
Welcome back to the War Room, ladies and gentlemen. In 27 minutes, I am going to begin taking your calls, so keep your phones close by. I won't open up the lines this segment, but probably in the next segment, I'll open them up so the crew has a chance to screen. But for the last hour of these shows, I always love to do calls and hear your feedback. I do want to lighten it up a little bit, because I'm actually fun sometimes, guys. I'm not always upset and mad at the New World Order. Sometimes I can have a little fun. I saw this clip, this trailer this week from Alex Stein. And it blew my mind how amazing it was, how good it is. And I just want you guys to see this trailer for 1989. This is Alex Stein's trailer, clip number 20. Run it.
If you want a vision of the future, imagine the boot of a singular chosen celebrity stamping on the a human face forever.
Attention citizens of the United Districts of North America. Taylor has completed the recording of her latest musical work. Taylor has decreed that if your sector's work output is in the 90th percentile this month, you will each be allotted exactly 1 minute and 30 seconds of listening time.
Thank you, Taylor. I live for you, Taylor. I live for you.
There are thought criminals among us that assert Taylor is not absolutely perfect in everything that she creates.
No! No!
That she is not perfect in all her decisions for society. Tell me, what are your true feelings towards Taylor?
Honestly, I mean, I think she's just okay at best.
It is not enough to merely obey Taylor. You must love her, even above your own life.
I found a journal where my great-grandfather claimed that generations ago, there was all kinds of different music made by all kinds of different people.
Other music? You sound like a fool. Taylor invented music. No one else even knows how to make it.
Here, listen to this.
I ain't saying she a gold woman, but she ain't
really with so
a
broke beautiful. Woman. I know.
She a gold
how did
woman.
They take this from us?
I have no idea.
How could you be simultaneously oppressed while dictating nearly all of society at the same time?
It doesn't make sense!
Stop it! These thoughts are illegal and you know it!
I don't care if they're illegal!
It's good and important to have fun every once in a while. Absolutely hysterical work from Alex Stein and his crew, Primetime 99 crew. Great work. And the reason it's so funny is because there's a war on our culture. And just as the political class and the globalists are trying to conglomerate all political power into one new world government, so they are trying to conglomerate all cultural influence, cultural power, so there is no diversity. Ironically, through diversity, they are trying to exploit minority communities, minority cultures, and leverage that exploitation into the homogeny of culture itself. They only want you listening to a handful of Hollywood-approved artists. They only want you to watch TV shows made by a handful of Hollywood-approved studios. They only want you to watch movies made by a handful of Hollywood-approved studios because they want to control the narrative. They want to control the culture so that it can be as malleable as possible. This is all part of the war that is on for your mind. And they have to gaslight you the whole way to do this because it's an untenable position. It's an untenable thing to claim that these are our only options. This is all that there is. This is all that there should be. And while they simultaneously berate Christianity and they come out with documentaries about the danger of nationalist Christian values, they bat an eye, or they turn a blind eye, rather, to brazen examples of self-worship and leftist worship which exploit Christianity. I just have to show you this clip. This is Cori Bush in clip number 13 here, claiming that she cured a homeless woman's cancer And this journalist says, I mean, can you imagine if Donald Trump or any right winger made this claim that they performed a Christian miracle with no evidence to support it whatsoever? They're going to turn a blind eye to this. Let's watch clip number 13.
You're a pastor.
Yes.
You write about healing through faith. At one point, you came across a woman with, quote, several visible tumors on her torso. Tell me what happened.
So at that time, I, along with a group of friends, we would go out on the street and just meet with people and pray with people and offer them food. And this lady came to us and she had these tumors. I mean, she wanted us to like feel them. And I just remember I put my hand on her and my hand just began to move. And the lumps that were there were no longer there. And she was so happy and she like went on about her day. And I never saw her again.
So you think the tumors disappeared?
I do. And this woman was unhoused. She's someone who, you know, had been sleeping in the shelters and sleeping on the street. If I can speak a prayer and I can believe what I believe and you believe that this will help you, then why not offer that to people? Because I know prayer has helped me.
As a trained nurse, you're a member of the medical community. How do you think about those spiritual healings versus medical healings?
Yeah, spiritual healing is a part of what you believe, you know, and the medical healing is a similar thing because I'm going to believe that this treatment that this doctor is giving me is going to help me in my situation, and so as the nurse, I am following the doctor's instructions and giving them whatever the doctor says that they should have. And also for those patients that would say, would you also pray with me? You know, I would pray with them. And so it's the same thing that I would do on the street.
What do you say to people who are likely to disbelieve that story?
You know, they're not the woman that had the tumors.
Yeah, because she doesn't exist. Don't get me wrong. I believe in miracles, but come on. You're not going to push back against that at all. Can you imagine if Donald Trump said, there was a woman in the street in New York, very beautiful woman, homeless, beautiful. And when you're a star, they let you do it. Perform miracles and just remove the tumors. Reach up and grab them by the tumor. Can you imagine how the left would respond to that claim if it was Marjorie Taylor Greene? And the lies people will tell to sell books, to gain popularity, it is just asinine. Folks, we're coming up on a break. I'm going to open up the phone lines in the next segment so the crew can screen your calls. In the meantime, please, I implore you, visit InfoWarsStore.com. We have amazing products in stock for sale, and we need your support on InfoWarsStore.com now more than ever. 40% off Nitric Boost, 40% off DNA Force Plus, 40% off Brain Force Ultra. These are all amazing products that will help your heart, help your DNA itself, and help your mind so you can be the most effective and impactful American, so you can reach self-actualization. But not only are these products amazing for your health, they're amazing for our country and imperative for our network. Please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now, get something you need, and be the reason we are still on the air.
Let's go to Nurse Keith in Oregon. You're on the air. Welcome, and thanks for holding.
About an hour ago, you were kind of explaining to people about how the micronutrients and stuff that are available in different foods actually had an effect on...
Let's be clear. There isn't long-term billion-year evolution. There's jumps, but how you build a car, or cars have evolved, or electricity, or computers have changed. There is innovation, and humans do get ancestral memories from their ancestors. That's called instincts. Yes.
Not trying to brag, but I'm a board-certified wound care associate, which is not an easy certification to get. It takes years. And it encompasses, you know, cardiology, endocrine, pulmonary, you name it. You've got to be good at all kinds of stuff. And let's face it, a lot of my doctors, they don't know anything about this stuff. It's my job as a nurse to figure it out. And
the average medical doctor gets 2 hours of college education on nutrition.
So one of the things that I do is I'm looking for results. And by using very good nutraceuticals and supplements and things like that. I can fix a problem. Give you just a real quick example. Let's say you have a really bad wound on your leg and you have diabetes and poor circulation. Well, I can order you a bottle of Nitric Boost, a bottle of Vasobeat, and get your ass up on a treadmill a little bit. But these things work better than any of the medication that we give. So I've got about 35,000 points because I give these things away as gifts.
Hold on. This is important. Patients. This is important. Absolutely. Just iodine alone, it's essential. It means you die without it. They don't tell you most people are deficient. 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities, the UN admits. That's what these concentrated plants and other compounds do. So you're saying you're taking care of people with wounds, one of the biggest medical industries out there, super tough job. And you're seeing with nutrition, and also they need to not be sedentary, obviously. You're seeing massive effects, because I've actually read about this. I'm not an expert like you, but that there's massive problems. Because the doctors don't even say exercise or get out of the bed or take supplements that are good for your skin. And it's so simple. I mean, my wife takes supplements to have good hair and good nails, and it really works for her. I mean, this stuff works. It's the compounds. Tell people about some of the things you've witnessed.
Alex, I would not have 35,000 Patriot points if this stuff didn't work. I'm not into buying BS, and I don't push BS. When I've got a complex wound, and I see something that you guys sell that I know perfectly fits. I love vitamin C and zinc. It's simple stuff, but the difference is the things that you guys sell versus what I buy at Walmart, they're not even in the same game. The stuff that you guys sell is legit.
We can sell the stuff Walmart sells, synthetic stuff, and the bottle costs more than what they're selling. With us, some of these products are costing us $30 a bottle, like DNA Force, okay? I mean, so there's cost because it is the highest rated.
If you're taking a nitrate, like you were talking about the Nitrate Boost, well, that is going to vasodilate. So when you're vasodilated, yeah, you're going to be pitching a proper 10. The Vasobeat does the exact same thing. But it also helps if I've got a person who's got really poor perfusion, and I just want to get their blood flow going so that I can keep this wound from going septic and actually get some granulation going. Or I could throw all the medications at it. Not going to do a damn thing. The doctors see the patient for 10 minutes, write a prescription, and say, okay, come back in 45 days. And it's my job to actually go figure it out. And so I use a lot of the stuff that you guys have.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, Nurse Keith. We'll talk to you soon. Get his name and number.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this evening. Please call in right now, 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. Finally, 877-789-2539. I'm going to give the crew the next 10 minutes to screen these calls. The sooner you call, the more likely I am to get to you. And for the course of the final hour of the show, beginning next segment, I will be taking your calls because I want to hear what you have to say. Always with me, it's open lines. I never try to narrow it down to one specific topic. I want you to be able to say what you want to say about anything. And in the meantime, I just want to blast off in this segment with this clip from Joe Rogan. This is clip number 25, where Rogan just once again demonstrated his awakening, his enlightenment as to what's really going on. Let's run this clip and unpack it on the other side.
You know what, man? Here's the problem. Here's the real problem. Republicans won't be the solution either, kids. The problem is people in a position of power. The Republicans seem like they are your solution, but it's just because the people in power right now are the Democrats. Whenever the Democrats are out and the Republicans are in, everybody is dying for a Democrat. I remember when Bush was president, after the second term and goes crazy and starts every war.
Yeah.
And then Obama comes in, like, oh, things are going to be great. But it kind of seems like kind of the same, you know. And the whistleblower protection that he promised, actually, probably like one of the worst on whistleblower. A lot of drone strikes.
Yeah.
The whole thing was bonkers. It's just the same structure with a different face. It's Bill Hicks's joke. Bill Hicks's joke about, I think the puppet on the left is to my liking. Well, I'm more aligned with the puppet on the right. Hey, there's one guy and he's holding both puppets.
And he's absolutely right. That is the definition of the rise of American populism. That is the reason that populism has garnered so much attention and support and growth over the course of the last 4 to 8 years. Because the definition of populism is the realization that it's not Republicans versus Democrats, or it's not the left versus the right, or this party versus that party that is the crux of all of our political ills, all of our problems, all of our suffering, and all of the injustice. It's the realization that it's the people versus the political class, not the different factions within the political class that are the crux of our problem. And it's true. Frankly, the Republican Party has done just as little for the American people as the Democratic Party. The only difference is the Republican Party pretends to actually believe in our values and support us. Don't get me wrong, there's been some good Republicans. There are some good Republicans, but and there's more good Republicans than there are good Democrats. But both of these parties, both of these political establishments, this uniparty, this singular political establishment has failed the American people, exploited the American people, and betrayed the American people, and thus the rise of American populism. And I want to show you just an example of this. This is clip number 50. And I don't know if this person in this video is faking or not, but I want to run it. Because regardless of whether this person is faking, this is how millions of Americans feel. And this is the first stage, the first step to the radicalization of the American people. Please run this clip.
I don't know how any of you guys are going and going and going. I know you gotta be at the same level of mental health as me. Biden and stupid Trump.
And he goes on for 3 minutes. We forgot to censor it. I'm sorry. It's my fault, crew. But he goes on for 3 minutes and just about the effects of Bidenomics, the suffering, the injustice, the struggling. And you got to keep in mind, the Biden administration is bragging about record low unemployment and totally disregarding all of the other more important, more telling metrics around the state of our economy than unemployment. Unemployment is a depression era metric, and frankly, it's mostly irrelevant in terms of discussing the health of an economy today. I mean, you want to talk about record low unemployment among minority communities, just look at the unemployment rate for black people in 1860. 0%. But they were all slaves. So yes, you can talk about unemployment here in the United States, but is it really freedom and economic prosperity when you're working three crappy jobs to make ends meet instead of one good job? When you lost your dream job and now you're doing DoorDash between gigs teaching guitar lessons, between gigs tending bar, and maybe you're in your 40s or your 50s, and it's work that you remember doing when you were in your early 20s to make ends meet as you were beginning your career, but it's not anything you ever would have thought that you would be doing now in your 40s, your 50s, or your 60s. I mean, I cannot tell you how many Uber drivers I have worked with that I've used as a consumer who have been like retired guys. And I think to myself, man, this person wearing their khakis and their polo shirt and their SUV probably would rather be playing golf or spending time with their grandchildren or spending time with their children or their wives at home. But for some reason, the Social Security just isn't enough. For some reason, they weren't able to save enough for retirement, or the market has tanked so much where they were invested that they can't pull out, or they had to pull out too much before they retired, and now they have to drive Uber in order to make ends meet. And they totally disregard the fact that, what is it, 1.5, if not 2 million people just left the workforce altogether over the course of the last several years? They're not even counted as unemployed because they gave up looking for jobs. So it makes the unemployment rate look so healthy when millions of people, literally millions of people in our economy, have just given up looking for jobs. And then they brag about it and misguide us Joe Biden's unemployment rates are so much better. Record unemployment for the last 50 years. Yeah, because everybody is working crappy jobs to make ends meet. Everybody is miserable, putting in extra hours. You advocate the 40-hour work with you. You say that you're an advocate for union workers and all the workers' rights that they fought for, when everyone is literally slaving away only for 25% of their income minimum to go to the federal government, not counting what goes to the state government, not counting the sales tax that everyone's paying, not counting the property tax that everyone's paying, not counting the capital gains tax that everyone's paying, or the penalties and taxes that everyone's paying when they have to pull from their retirement savings accounts prematurely in order to cover their bills every single month. Not counting the fact that everyone is going into the grocery store and out with less than is on their list, that no one can afford to fill up a full tank of gas, so everyone's putting $10 or $15 in a time. Not counting the fact that bankruptcies are up 20% year over year, that credit card is expanding in sync with the national debt. Not counting the fact that buying power is down astronomical amounts and no one can afford anything. But yeah, we're all working our ass off. So I guess everything's great because we're freaking out trying to make ends meet. We're freaking out trying to save our marriages. Yeah, no wonder young men can't get laid, or young men aren't getting married, or women aren't having children. The economy is so bad, inflation is so bad, that people have to live with their parents into their 30s, and no woman wants to marry a man who lives with his parents. So we have an entire generation of involuntarily celibate men who are becoming radicalized, either radicalized right or radicalized left, but everything's good because unemployment is low. Everyone's happy to work for their $7.25 or their $7.50 an hour. Or their $15 an hour plus tips, only to find that they're $1,500 a month further and further in debt every month. Only to find, and they come out and they say, oh, well, we're going to be heroes of these people because we're going to reverse all of their student debt. Yeah, they're still paying for it. They're paying for it in the astronomical amount of taxes. And the fact that the tuition costs so much is because you offer all of these easy student loan programs. I mean, maybe if you weren't giving millions upon millions of dollars to students to study bizarre, obscure fields of study in college for decade after decade, maybe it wouldn't cost $50,000 to $100,000 a year to go to college. Room and board included, you know, all the costs associated with it, plus textbooks, plus everything. So they've inflated the cost of healthcare. They've inflated the cost of education. They've devalued the currency by however many percentage points. I mean, 40% of all dollars ever printed were printed in like the last 4 years. It's insane. And then they brag about how great everything is because everyone's working three crappy jobs. No one can get married or afford to have children. And then they complain about depopulation because no one's having enough children. They use that, like Chuck Schumer did, as an excuse to import as many migrants as possible because we're just simply not having enough kids. I wonder why. I guarantee if everybody was doing well financially, they'd be having kids. That's what you do when you're financially comfortable. You get married, you have kids, because kids are fun and awesome, and building a family is fulfilling. That's what you do when you're doing well, folks. But it's not happening because no one is doing well. We're going to take your calls on the other side. Call in 877-789-2539 and make sure you open up another tab. Visit InfoWarsStore.com right now to get any number of our amazing products, not only because it's an investment in your health and your well-being and your self-actualization, but because it keeps InfoWars on the air. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now and be the reason we are still on the air.
What do you make of the attempt to take January 6th, which we know was a federally provocateur event at many levels, there were also some useful idiots that got sucked into it, in my view, to now project on that, no, it's not radical Islam that's the big threat, it's not communist China that's the threat, it's the American people and patriots that are the threat, and with straight faces, the CIA has come out and said, oh, we believe a civil war has already begun. We're going to have to arrest all the leadership. I mean, this is what a real authoritarian takeover looks like historically.
The most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
The most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland, white supremacists.
The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today, white supremacy is terrorism.
Can you speak to that with your historic understanding?
I expect something. Again, another distraction, I expect, because of what was staged on January 6th and what was staged up in Michigan to kidnap, you know, the fake kidnapping of the governor up in Michigan, Whitmer. I think we're going to see staged events. I really do. I mean, I really do think that, do not put past this administration, but their thugs in some cases, that they have access to. Do not put it past them to stage something.
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.